Let's open our Bibles to John 13. John 13. Jesus is our example of a servant. Thank you, Lord. It's nice to have Brother Theo here. So we're going to ask him to read with us this morning. John 13, 1 to 17. So, nice and loud
there. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them."
We're all free to share something this morning. What blesses you?
I like verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things in his hands, it surprises me that, you know, when you get all the authority, all the power, all the means, what will you do? Will you go fast and fix everything, right? Those that are out of line, you will go and put them back online, get rid of those that are no good. And instead of that, what Jesus does, he goes around serving. In the Gospels, it says that in the later days, many will grow cold in their love. And one of the reasons is that people see the evil and the unjust things in the world, and they wonder, where is God? But they only see a tiny part of the picture. Look at Jesus here. He has all power, all authority, and, you know, the main thing is to go and serve, take care of somebody else's need. Why he does that? Why he doesn't run and fix everything right away? It teaches us that, you know, our main goal is to serve somebody today. And God will take care of what? God will take care of the world. Psalm 103 says that the heavens, you know, the angels, all of them obey God. They are ready. They are in light. You know, there is no problem questioning God's order, you know, obeying the Lord. And it's the same thing with our world, you know. The physical world obey God. Summer takes place because God says so. Nature goes along because God says so. So we only have a very tiny fraction of the world that doesn't obey. And God will take care of that on His time. So, It's amazing, you know. Jesus is awesome, you know. Knowing what he knows, and he chooses to serve, you know, to look out for us. What a beautiful example of humility. That's the best way to use power, in a humble way.
I like where it says, Jesus answered, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but I will make it clear enough to you later." Pretty much, I've learned this. That's how the Holy Spirit works. God speaks to you. Well, this is maybe a different aspect of this. The Holy Spirit speaks, and you don't know, and then you do something, you don't understand what God is doing and what God is saying. But the Holy Spirit speaks, and you need to obey. So as you get trained to listen to the Holy Spirit, you listen to the Holy Spirit, and you do whatever he says, but you don't know why you're doing it or what's going on. And later on, God reveals to you, or it could be like a month later, a week later, a year later, all of a sudden something pops to your head going, oh, that's what you're doing. And it's very interesting how God moves and does his thing. It's like a Krishna walk is like a maze. You know, the Holy Spirit speaking, and you do what he says, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, that was amazing. Like, nobody's around, you're by yourself in your house, and God, you should really write it down, like in a journal. It'd be really cool to recall all these things, but I don't want to do that. But anyway, that's how God's amazing how he works.
We think of Jesus as the Son of God, but Philip chose to include Jesus in our study of a servant. How would you as a servant like to wash 12 dirty disciples' feet? Or the feet of 12? How would you like to do that? I think that's one of the most menial, lowest tasks for a servant to do. I should go around and wash your dirty feet? Why did Jesus do it? You see, in those days, they didn't have shoes. You realize that? They didn't have shoes. It wasn't invented yet. They walked around in what?
Sandals.
Sandals, yes. Some of you do that too, as if shoes weren't invented. And your feet get dirty. Yeah. They didn't have paved roads. It was dirt roads. This is 2,000 years ago. They had dirt roads. And so when you came into somebody's house, your feet were dirty. Mm-hmm. And if you were well off, you had a servant who would wash the guest's feet. Mm-hmm. That was his job. And so here Jesus put aside his beautiful garment. He girded himself with a towel. And he stooped down and washed his disciples' feet. Can you imagine Peter doing such a thing? Knowing Peter? I think he might have objected. But Jesus was trying to show them humility, all right? Service. Jesus came to serve. And see what he washed their feet. Also, I don't believe they sat at tables. Most of the pictures that you see, they sit on the floor. It's just a low table. Mm-hmm. And so my feet would be next to, you know, your nose almost. And so it was the custom in those days, yes, to wash the feet of the guests who came. And that was a servant's job. And so here Jesus stooped and washed his disciples' feet. And I think that ought to speak to us, that we ought to be willing to do the meanest thing or the lowest thing. We like to, yes, serve, you know, tables. That's nice. If you had to wash my feet, would you like to do that? No. Be honest. No. Would you? Be honest, yes or no? Would you like to do it? Answer me.
No.
No. You wouldn't like to wash my feet, even though I have stockings and shoes on. But I just want to show you, it was the lowest job, all right? One of the lowest jobs.
Yes.
And Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, you do what I do. Any task that is given you, and that goes for us today, any task, whether it's great or small, whether it's seen or unseen, you do it. Mm-hmm. Say, Jesus, you did the worst.
Yes.
and I want to serve you, whether it's great or small, whether people see me or they don't see me. Yesterday I was sitting out on the porch in a chair, and I like to put my feet up on the railing, you know? And there were all cobwebs in between the fence, you know? Because I had to put my feet all the way over. So I called the lady who sweeps the porch. I didn't call her, she was passing by. And I said, would you please get a broom and get rid of these cobwebs? And what did she say?
Sure.
What did she say? What did she do?
She got a broom.
What should she do?
Get
the broom.
And do it.
And get rid of those cobwebs so I can put my feet up with not into a cobweb. And she did. She immediately went to the, wherever it is, she got a broom and she came out and she sweeped all those spaces in between the fence. Mm-hmm. So I told her, thank you. But she said, well, that was her job. That's what she's here for. But you see what I mean? Just to sweep a cobweb for Sister Martha? Thank you. Where is she? Where is she? I don't even know her name.
She quit.
Now that's a very small illustration, all right? You're willing to do almost anything that you are asked to do because she's a servant here. This is her job. This is her job. I hope she swept them away today. You know, they come overnight. They work very fast. You can clean a cobweb one day and the next day they're there again.
Yes. They work overnight.
Well, do you get my point? Yes.
I would have washed your feet.
What?
I would wash your feet.
You would?
Yes. But it reminded me of years ago when I was cook down in that same kitchen. Many years ago, I had prepared, the regular meal, but I had this really special dessert. But I was really proud of that dessert. That was a good dessert. And the meal was almost over, I guess. I was downstairs in the kitchen. And suddenly the call came, the phone, the intercom we have. And they said, oh, someone would like an apple. For dessert. I said, an apple? And I had an attitude as I went to the cooler to get that apple for this guest and send it up. Turns out he was diabetic, and that was the reason for it. But I already had the attitude. And as I'm walking in the cooler, I get the apple and came back, the Lord spoke to me and said, now if that was Uncle Hans that wanted the apple, you would have sent up two apples. And the Lord really convicted me about that I'm not here to serve anyone. I'm not here to serve people or myself. I'm here to serve the Lord. And that was a lesson that the Lord taught me himself. It's wonderful how God can teach us to come down like that in certain instances. And may he help us in all instances to come down and do everything that's unto him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I just wanted us to look in closing at those verses in Matthew 20. Maybe we just read them, because I think it sums up the message of this morning.
That Jesus is our example. We sang, oh, to be like thee. Mm-hmm. You sang, willing to suffer, others to save. And isn't that what Jesus did? He suffered in our place, willing to suffer, others to save, meekly enduring cruel reproaches. In Matthew 20, we have that request of the mother. She just wanted the best for her boys. Lord, when you come in your kingdom, I want my sons to sit on your left hand and your right hand, on those thrones that are going to be set in your kingdom. And Jesus responded to that, you don't know what you're really asking. But then when the other disciples heard about it, how do you think they felt? Who do these guys think they are, you know?
They're taking my place.
Yeah, that's my spot. Didn't he know that? And then Jesus uses this as an opportunity to teach them. And I think that we need to pay attention because Jesus is teaching us in these days. He wants to teach us something. We need to learn something. Do you know that? And so here he takes his disciples aside and he says to them in verse 25 or 24, when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Oh, I know how to be in charge. I know how to tell people what to do. That's what I do. But what does God say? What does Jesus say to his disciples? Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. I thought about that. He takes it, I was going to say a step down, not only a servant, but a slave. No wage, nothing in return, you don't belong to yourself. No rights. No rights. Oh, but I have my rights, brother. Don't take my rights from me. And then he goes on to say, and here it is, here's his example. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve, to take that place of a servant and to give his life a ransom for many. And so as servants, what could we say? As God's servants, what is the quality or the characteristic of that should mark our lives? What is it? If we could sum it up today. You think it's humility? Is that a good... The willingness to serve, to humble ourselves, to stoop. I had written down in my book, how low would Jesus stoop? How do you think? How low would Jesus stoop? And how often we think certain things are beneath us or are not really important or let me say that, or maybe I'm too important for those things. Let someone else do it when God is asking us to do it. As our sister said, maybe it's just to make a phone call. And maybe it involves our time, you know. We don't like to give up our time. We think our time belongs to us when really every moment of every day belongs to Him. So Jesus is your example. He's my example. And He ends in John 13 with that passage. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So, beloved, there's something for us to do. We're blessed in doing what He says. We're blessed in following His example. And so today, let's put these things into practice. Do you think God will give us opportunity to put these things into practice? What do you think? Yes? He does. He does. And so may God help us. Let's just bow our heads. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Dad, would you pray with us, please?
Part of that chapter, it says, those he loved to the utmost degree. His motivation was love, and by love he served. Grant us this grace, Lord. Fill our hearts with your love, that we might truly be clothed upon with your humility and serve one another in this manner. that we might be that blessing that you've intended that we should be one to another. Let your works appear today among us. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.